The Housing Industry Association released its 2025 report on taxation of the housing sector, revealing up to half the cost of a new home in Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane comes from government taxes, fees, and charges. The report produced by the Centre for International Economics shows Brisbane recorded the biggest increase since 2019, up a staggering 106%. To unpack what this means for housing affordability and future growth, The Wire's Azucena Carrasco spoke with the Housing Industry Association's chief economist, Tim Reardon.
The HIA report argues that Australia's housing crisis can't be fixed without reducing the tax and regulatory load. And to go directly to an example, the report shows Brisbane has overtaken Sydney and Melbourne in terms of increased taxes and charges on new housing. We are talking about a jump of 106% since 2019. And to give some perspective to our listeners, Sydney has increased by 38%. So what is happening in Brisbane? Is there any combination, unique factors compared to other capitals?
That's right. The rate of increase in the cost of a new house and land package in the southeast corner of Queensland in particular has been increasing faster than anywhere else in the country because of the cost of land, and particularly due to the cost of taxes, fees and charges that are inbuilt into that cost of land. Of particular importance is how long it takes to turn greenfields land into shovel-ready land for new home development. In Sydney, 49% of the cost of a new house and land package is taxes, fees and charges. And that's because it takes 10 to 20 years to bring new greenfields land from a farm through to shovel-ready land ready to have a home being built on it. And it only takes then about 6 months to build the home on it. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen in Queensland over the past 5 years is that time frame to go from shovel-ready land to completed land has expanded. And because there is a limited urban growth boundaries within that southeast corner of Queensland, the price for each individual block of land is rising as well, which means that governments make more and more revenue out of sale through stamp duty, GST and other components that are imposed on the development of new land.
Right. So it seems that it is not that easy to explain in simple terms what is it that it is happening in Australia with so much land that we have, and basically we are struggling to build affordable houses.
The key issue is who pays to make water flow uphill. For every new development, either water or sewerage has to flow uphill at some stage, and it's expensive to build that infrastructure. Historically, that the cost of that infrastructure was paid for out of consolidated revenue. And then we moved to a user-pays model, and then we moved to a system of taxing the provision of that infrastructure, which means that those households moving into a new greenfield suburb or brownfields development don't pay for 100% of the cost of the development. They pay for 100 to 200% of the cost of the infrastructure to develop that land. If we're to address this housing shortage, we need to see governments making longer-term views, recognising, of course, that they make revenue out of developing new land. It costs them up front, but they recover that cost over the course of the next 25 to 30 years. But they build that infrastructure without charging the first households that move into a new greenfields development site.
If the situation continues like this, what's the expected outcome in the construction and housing sector for the next decade?
The key issue here is the time frame. It's very difficult to lower stamp duty and GST imposed on a house. Certainly, state and local councils can lower their fees and charges that are imposed on top of GST and stamp duty. We're still largely fixed with those two, stamp duty and GST. But by lowering the time frame, bringing more land to market, and the time from which it goes from dairy farm to shovel-ready land is reduced, that reduces the cost to those that are moving in. What we can see is that in South Australia, for example, it typically takes 4 to 6 years to bring greenfield lands to market. In the case of Sydney, that's almost 20 years. In the case of Brisbane, that's getting well beyond 10 years now to bring new greenfields land to market. It's that time frame that's the key issue.
Right. Okay. And just to go around the world a little bit, so there is an array of approaches in the housing industry.
One of the reasons we're building so few homes in Australia is because state governments have forced foreign investors out of the Australian market. Now, those foreign investors that build apartment complexes around the world are no longer able to build apartments in particularly Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne. Mm-hmm. As a consequence, we've seen the number of apartments commencing construction fall by half. Mm-hmm. If we want to get to the goal of building 1.2 million, we need to see at least a doubling and preferably a tripling of the volume of apartments commencing construction. To do that, we're going to need access to overseas capital.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing domestic superannuation companies or mum and dad investors step in to fill the gap of those missing investors.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about individuals that have ever come to Australia. We're talking about foreign institutions such as overseas-owned banks, Bank of America, Bank of Japan. Those types of institutions are now prohibited from investing in apartment building in Australia.
That was Tim Reardon from HIA speaking with The Wire's Azucena Carrasco.